We've been building the next edition of Eastern Standard. I'm Tom Martin, and coming up this week, could medical marijuana be a pain-relieving alternative to opioids?
The data that we have right now would point to no.
Dr. Shayna Babylonis researches marijuana in the Department of Behavioral Science at the University of Kentucky College of Medicine.
Medical marijuana is not an effective replacement for opioids in terms of pain relief or for opioid use disorder, or so folks who are addicted to opioids.
We invited Dr. Babylonis to share the results of her ongoing research as the Kentucky General Assembly takes up separate proposals to legalize medical and recreational marijuana.
THC itself, medical marijuana, is not going to cause anyone to overdose and die. I think that's a really important thing to clarify. Mm-hmm. As we talk about marijuana risks, marijuana is harmful when animals, pets, and children ingest it. That can cause toxic side effects. But in otherwise normal, healthy people, it won't cause an overdose.
And what about CBD, derived from marijuana's non-psychoactive cousin, hemp? Why is there so little science?
For example, if we're going to test a CBD product, it has to be produced by a pharmaceutical company and have gone through the rigors of safety, sterility, product testing to be able to test it to be sure that it's safe. So I can't test the CBD that you would buy in Walgreens or from the local dispensaries.
Much to be learned from Dr. Babylonis in an edition of Eastern Standard that will also look into the 21st century version of the canary in the coal mine, honeybees.
Researchers have started to use them as biomarkers. What they bring in from the environment into the hive can show you what kind of pesticides or problems may be in an environment. So in that aspect, they are like canaries in a coal mine.
That's Mary Sheldon. While at EKU pursuing a master's in public health, her in-depth chemical analyses of locally sourced honey identified the presence of heavy metals and pesticides in the majority of samples. Her work made the cover of the peer-reviewed Journal of Environmental Health. It's work that she hopes to continue.
I think if we could expand our research or my research into showing what's out there in the environment, maybe then we could teach people to reduce their dependency on pesticides or anything that would help bring back some insect life.
Better understanding life in Appalachia can be accomplished in a most delightful way around the dinner table. That's what Elizabeth Engelhardt had in mind as co-author with Laura Smith of The Food We Eat, The Stories We Tell.
The book might surprise you a little bit. It's not a cookbook. It's not a collection of food history where we try to find the very first. But what it is a collection of people who are talking about why food matters to them in Appalachia.
And why does that approach help us better understand Appalachian culture?
Because if you tell me why a food matters to you, if you tell me your history with that food, your family's relationship to it, your moment of discovery with it, and I tell you my story, then we're starting to understand about who we are, where we came from, where we're headed, what might draw us together.
Joining us in the conversation is a contributor to the book, West Virginia folklorist Emily Hilliard. It's all on this week's edition of Eastern Standard, Thursday at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., Sunday at 6 p.m. here on 88.9 and on our mobile app. For Eastern Standard and WEKU, I'm Tom Martin.